Brad Graber, our financial planner from investingintruth.com, is joining us now. We're going to be talking about a controversial topic, minimum wage. It's a political hot button. We've got people who don't believe it should even exist. On the other hand, we have the argument for a minimum wage hike up to $15 and beyond. So is it that one political side of the argument cares more for those working minimum wage jobs, or is it that we just have different economic theories at play with the same end goal in mind? Well, that's what we're going to look at. So how can we sort through all of this and get down to navigating the issue? Brad, I've had I don't know how many discussions with people over minimum wage and finally cut it off. So I'm not going to argue. We're not going to argue. We're wasting time with that.
Yeah, it's a difficult issue. And just as with anything, when we hear something that's as controversial as that, as Christians, we do well to step back and just take a look at what are the biblical truths that underlie this issue. And when I do that on the minimum wage, I'll give you like the 3 points that come to me first and foremost is, number one, we need to care for the poor and uphold the dignity of all people. So we need to have compassion for people and people on all sides of this issue. The second one is that the employee deserves a fair wage. 1 Timothy 5:18 tells us that the laborer deserves his wages. So are we paying a fair wage for the work that somebody's delivering? And then the third one is that work is a gift from God and not something to be avoided. And Colossians 3 addresses this as how we're working heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So we need to always hold work in high regard. So are we doing that as we address this issue? And it's okay for us to compromise and to even disagree on the economic theory behind it. But what we can't bend on as Christians is the value that we're placing on work and on the human life itself.
Well, I know one of the criticisms, Brad, of raising minimum wage is it could lead to job losses. And it seems, I remember reading in news headlines when all of this first started hitting the news, raising it to $15 per hour, that there were some companies in Washington state that said, okay, we're going to raise it, but they started cutting employee hours. Can you explain the connection between those two issues?
Yeah, and this is one of the underlying truths behind the minimum wage argument, is that there's an offset between increasing hourly wages and jobs, the number of jobs. And the Congressional Budget Office, in their most recent report, validated that same connection. Now, the idea is that we can raise more wages than we lose in jobs, but there's still that trade-off there. While we're helping raise some people out of minimum wage and out of poverty by increasing the wage, there's going to be some people that are going to lose their jobs or lose the amount of hours that they can work. So how do we deal with that? And this happens because businesses have limited amounts that they can afford to pay their workers. And a great example of this is the mom-and-pop restaurant. So we take it down to a simpler example rather than these huge corporations. But a mom-and-pop restaurant is a great example. So it's not uncommon for them to be paying out around a third of what they bring in as cost of labor to their employees. So if they're paying minimum wage, which right now is 7 1/4, and the minimum wage would jump, let's say it even just doubles for easy math, then they go from paying out a third in labor to paying out 2/3 in labor. And the problem is they're operating those kind of businesses on a very razor-thin profit margin, and they don't have that much money that they can afford to continue to pay out and increase the wages of that labor. So they have a couple of choices. Number one, they can raise the cost of the goods and basically pass that cost on, so the cost of the food at their restaurant can get passed on to the customers. That may or may not work as far as a business model. The other one is that they can try to cut back on the hours of people. So, you know, that's when you go to the restaurant and you don't get as good a service. Well, why is that? Because, well, we're paying out more in labor, so we can't afford to have as many people here to offer that service. And this also brings up then another problem in that the higher that the wage goes, the easier it is to justify investing in technology that's going to replace the workers. And this is easier for big companies to do than it is for small companies because they have more resources that they can provide and can do that. But if you look at restaurants and grocery stores, it's a growing trend that things are going automated, whether it's the self-checkout or the order kiosk, all those things. It's no accident that restaurants and grocery stores are trying that out. They're trying to figure out how can we invest in technology to replace this increasing cost of labor.
Well, I know there's obviously a big debate on where the minimum wage should be set, but are there some other concerns with setting it too high?
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. We've got this trade-off here. And the bottom line is that the minimum wage can't be greater than the value of the worker. Or I should just say the wage can't be greater than the value of the worker. While on the one hand, the worker deserves the fair wage, they shouldn't be taken advantage of. On the other side, the employer can't afford to pay out more than the employee is worth. So the value of the employee and the work that they bring can't be less than what I'm actually paying them. Otherwise, it's not economical for me to hire an employee. So the higher the minimum wage goes, then it's going to require a higher level of skill because that worker has to bring in more value. And that means that your new workers to the job force or those with less education, less experience, they're going to have a tougher time finding work as that minimum wage continues to go up and up. So it's this continual trade-off between where is the minimum wage, where is the wage that I have to pay an employee, and how many jobs can I offer? And you can't just simply improve the wages without having some offsetting consequences somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's just naturally going to be that. So it tends that the real argument here is not over how much we care for people. It's more over where is this optimal trade-off? And naturally, people are going to disagree on that because some people are going to say, well, it needs to be at 10, it needs to be at 12, it needs to be at 15. We're going to be somewhere on that scale, and it's just where we think that optimal point is. And we would do well, again, to look at it from all sides of the argument, from the minimum wage employee to the person just making above minimum wage to the person just trying to enter the job force, and then also from the standpoint of the employer, because the employer is affected in this as well, and they're people that we need to be compassionate for, too.
Well, in your opinion, Brad, then where's the solution? You know, because we desire to care for the poor and pay a fair wage and yet value work and business as the provider of jobs and services in our economy. Where is the solution in the midst of all of this? Because we could, like I said, we could argue about it all day. And it seems like every discussion I've had became an argument. And I don't want to argue about it. I want to care for people. But what do we do?
Well, and I'm sure not everybody's going to agree with my point of view either, but I think you need to take it back to that personal level. It all involves this idea of compassion for people, and that's what we're trying to improve here. And if I had somebody and it was my job to try to work them out of being dependent on minimum wage, being in a low-paying job situation, what I would try to do is increase the value of the work that they can provide, because the more value you can provide as a worker, the more you can demand in a wage. And a good example of this is an article I read just recently where Amazon.com is they're doing job training for a third of their workforce. And for them, they're a very desired employer. And you would think they could hire pretty much anybody they wanted to, but they're still having trouble finding workers that have the skills that they need for the jobs that they're wanting performed. So their solution is, rather than continue to look, they're looking inside. And they're saying, who do we have? Let's look at our job force. Let's train and add skill and value to the work that they can provide to us. We don't have to go hire new people. Let's take these same people and let's invest in them. Let's invest in the person, move them up the pay scale through training and providing skill and increasing the value that they can deliver for us. And that to me is the ultimate solution, because then you're still caring for the person, but you're honoring work and still understanding this correlation between the value of the worker and the wage that they're getting paid.
Yeah, I think if nothing else comes out of all of it, we've got to remember to care for people. As Christians, we have got to remember to care for people, not argue the semantics, but make sure the people are cared for. And what can we do to increase that? So, Brad, I appreciate that you take us into God's Word to look at these things, especially a hot-button issue like this.
Yeah, they're never easy. And like I said, there's always issues we can compromise on. And that's what makes the argument difficult. But we always need to start on that common ground as Christians that we can stand firm on and make sure that everything still relates back to those issues.
Hey, I want to point all of you in the direction of Brad's website. It's investingintruth.com. And you may not, if that's not familiar to you, and you may not remember that as you go through the day, but you want to come back and take a look at what he has to say about things like this or the financial boot camp, click on the resources tab at morningswithkellyandsteve.org, and you'll see how to connect with Brad. But Brad, real quick, because I haven't asked you for a while, and I know that there are people out there struggling financially to just balance things and maybe get out of debt, and that's something we're going to talk about later today on Moody Radio. Share a little bit in about 60 seconds or less about your financial boot camp, because that is free to people.
Yeah, so financial boot camp, I actually run it as an ongoing course at my church, and it's something I just take families through, and we start from and go from A to Z on what does the Bible teach on all aspects of handling money. So we start by dealing with the heart issues, because that's the underlying problem behind most money issues. And then what does Scripture tell us, how we should view money, how we should handle money, how do we deal with things like debt, giving, even saving and teaching our kids. And it's just a natural progression over, I have it designed as a 12-month course, but somebody can go on to my website, investinginTruth.com, click on Financial Boot Camp, and all of my material is there. Everything I teach is right there. The only thing that's different in my course is me standing in front of you and dealing with some personal issues and having discussions. So I encourage everybody, it's free. Just go on there and feel free to read, and hopefully that takes your Bible study and your application of Scripture in your own life to the next level.
I have to give you a true confession before I let you hang up, Brad. The first time that, one of the first two or three times that we talked, when you first joined us on Moody Radio, and you talked about how we handle money as being a heart issue, my first thought in the back of my head was, I don't want to hear that. And then I thought, oh, it is a heart issue.
We never want to hear that, do we?
No,
that makes
don't.
It too personal.
I know. Well, Brad, we appreciate you. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks, Kelly.
A good week.
You too.
All right, thanks. That is Brad Graber from investinginTruth.com. I hope the discussion was helpful to you this morning. What Brad tries to do for us, and that I love so much, is that he takes us into God's Word. What does God's Word have to say about how we view finances, how we handle the money that we've been given? Because you know what? Brad has said this too, and it's the truth. Those resources we have, God Himself has entrusted them to us. It's all His. Everything we've ever been given, it's all His. So we've got to manage it well to honor Him.